This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk, and I'm here on Island Oasis, a Maxim 46 sports yacht that belongs to Wendy and Tom Folks. And I'm talking with Wendy and Tom, and welcome to the show.
Hi.
Glad
nice
to
be
you,
here.
Karen.
You know, Wendy, last night we were watching on your boat some marvelous pictures of manta rays in Bora Bora. You are a diver and have been a diver for a long time. Can you tell us about that experience you had?
Tom and I met 39 years ago in the Seychelles Islands. We met on a dive boat, actually. And so we've been diving ever since, and that's what we do every vacation. And one of the best experiences was, we were showing you the video last night, was in Bora Bora. And all these mantas came up just to play with us for the full 45 minutes of the dive. They were just playing with our bubbles, sitting on the top of us. And it was just the most amazing experience, and one we'll never forget. We've had great experiences all around the world. Dove many, many places, but that one was truly special.
Now, Tom, were you the photographer for that?
Yeah, it was basically the first time we'd actually used the GoPro, so it was a miracle that it happened and everything worked out great. So we still have the GoPro. That's all we do is dive when we're on a vacation. So we are not cold water divers, we're warm water divers.
Well, I can identify with that. So tell me about some of the places that you have been.
Tonga, the Lau Islands, Fiji, the Maldives, of course Seychelles, because we lived there for all those years. And so we've done some incredible diving around Seychelles. But, you know, the world is a spectacular place and there's so much to see, so we need to keep going.
I'd like to add that with diving, it's kept us on the water. So we've always been water people because of diving.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had boats forever, and our kids have both done the same thing. Our daughter now has a boat. Our son is he's a pilot, but they're both certified divers. So kind of because of Wendy, we've kept our certifications up. She's a master diver. I'm actually one step under because I'm always working. We love the diving and recommend it to everybody.
And I remember you were telling me a little bit about how you got interested in certifying, because you'd done a lot of undocumented dives in the Seychelles. Tell us about what inspired you to certify.
We were on a liveaboard in Australia on the Great Barrier Reef, and I was just amazed at all the credentials everybody had, because Tom and I had been diving for all these years at that point. And all of a sudden it just occurred to me how important that to keep current with all the technology and to just do all of this stuff, how important that was. And so we just got into it.
Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. It's a Tuesday at 9:40 out here in San Francisco. It's time to check in with Karen Lyle, who co-hosts this segment with me from SailSportTalk.com. Karen, hope you had a good holidays.
I did, and I hope yours was good.
It was. Thank you so much. And we are now quite pleased to bring in our guest. It is Piers Copham. He is the first British sailor to announce his 2023 La Transat Paprec campaign. For the first edition of the race, he has joined forces with Voilée des Anges, an association that supports a network with families who have lost children, predominantly prematurely, through stillbirths. Piers, welcome to the show. Happy holidays to you. Tell us a little bit more about that very important association I just mentioned.
Great, Karen. Well, good to meet you. And yes, predominantly in the US. The only thing I would say before all this is, anything I say about tough sailing conditions at the moment with your minus 47 in Wyoming, but as Dominic said, well, you don't have much sailing in Wyoming, so you're probably all right. But anyway, seriously, folks, with you there. No, the Voile des Anges, which is Sails of Angels, basically it's a way of providing a memory for kids who are no longer with us. So as you said in the intro there, you know, the founder, as she put it, was, I didn't want the first and last time I wrote, in her case, Matthias's name, to be on his death certificate. And when you hear something like that, you cannot but think how powerful a cause that is. And so on the side of my boat, there's 120 odd names, all of them children who are no longer with us. But for the families, it's a way of keeping that memory going in a much more positive light than dwelling on it. And in many areas, it's a really taboo topic. And so it also provides a conversation piece. You know, last year I did the transatlantic in my Mini. And for those families now, that's the conversation point. It's not a child they lost 10, 12, or even 20 years ago.
Well, I love that conversation point. You're creating a provenance for your boat for all of those names as they travel. And you started out sailing in smaller boats. And can you tell us a little bit about your sailing background?
Yeah, Karen, I know what I've written. I'll just be very cautious given the broad audience here. No, it's non-sailors and sailors alike. Like many kids, well, I grew up in the northwest of Scotland and very much a small fishing community, and no one really sailed. But we'd gone up there partly to set up a sailing business. But I created my own little sailing boat out of an old rowing boat and a bed sheet. And apparently I used to row this thing upwind about half a mile, and then go downwind and then row back up again. I'd do that all afternoon. And then an uncle saw me doing this and said to my mother, apparently, you can't let him carry on like that. It's embarrassing. And she said, well, he seems to like it. And about a month later, he sent this old little sailing boat up. And that's how it all started.
By the way, our greatest ever... Go ahead, Karen.
So I also see, Piers, that you were a rowing champion and that you won a European medal in the 10 World Masters Championship. So that's taught you. Yes, I'm telling on you.
I forgot I told you that bit. Yeah, okay. No, well, again, sailing, and to be honest, taking a step back, anything on water, under it, on it, and I heard you... previous speakers there, I dive a bit as well. But no, my main sport really has been up until the last 5-10 years, rowing. So I rowed for Cambridge University, and I throughout my life I've kept it going, and I've rowed certainly all around Europe. I've been to Harvard, but not raced in any of your races over there. And I've been to San Francisco. I hadn't been on the bay, but you know, any piece of water, an excuse to get out. And so yeah, rowing is something I still do. So I've been in the last. Over the last 10 years, most of the World Masters. Basically, you know, you can keep on rowing even when you can no longer walk.
By the way, I was just going to throw in there that our most famous sailor in this country, the father of the American Navy, John Paul Jones, was born in Arbrigglen in Kirk Cudbridgeshire in Scotland.
I've forgotten about John Paul Jones because that was the turning point. He was the guy, I think, wasn't he, revolutionized the... U.S. Navy back in the 1800s? No, I lost track where he is now. But yeah.
No, it was in the Revolutionary War. Yeah, he had the Beaumont Richard, that we called the Bonhomme Richard, and defeated the Serapis.
Now, you got me there on history, but I'll support the Scottish bit because Karen and I just been bantering back. My if you want to start going back, my ancestors, or I have a Welsh grandfather, an Irish grandfather, and I grew up in Scotland. So you can make the call on what I think I am.
But British Isles.
exactly. I'll go diplomatic. It used to be a joke. It's getting a little sensitive these days. But no. So my couple hundred years ago, my ancestors were sailors in the west coast of Wales, and because of their, you know, in the war against France, Napoleon, and the rest of it, they went into the navy, but they got captured and put in a prison in France in Brittany, where I now race from. But they managed to escape and stole a French naval frigate to get home. And so as they were sailing back, they said, actually, this is a really good boat. This is really fast. And so they built the next design of the family trading ships. And these traded around, you know, around to Australia and the like of it. So I felt a bit guilty about this. And so in the prize giving of the major French championships last year in the Figaro, I thought, well, I've got to make something of this. And I have a picture of one of the boats. And one of the skippers is from the French Navy. So I said, look, I'm really sorry. I think this is your boat. You better have it back. I'm not here to steal a current generation, but I do need to update my skills, which is what I've been doing. I train most of the time in France because that's where the center of solo ocean racing really is. Globally, they have really their streets ahead of any other nation. We Brits like to think we can sail well, but you have to see the French solo ocean racing scene to see that. Apart from a certain little thing called, I think it's America's Cup or something. I can't remember.
Right. So tell us about this race that you're going to be doing that you really feel is quite a challenge in preparation for your Vendée Globe in 2028.
Yeah, no, sure. So, I mean, the overall aim for, and I think as you can see on Piers Cotton Ocean Racing, the overall aim is in 6 years, every 4 years, the round-the-world race, solo, non-stop, in 60-foot boats is the Vendée Globe, Vendée being the area of France that sponsors it, and Globe meaning this little planet. But no, the next immediate step is this race, the Transat, i.e. Transatlantic, in Class Figaro. These boats are about 35 foot, 10 and a half meters odd. And they are the fastest production boat you can get. I mean, all these big, impressive races, the America's Cup or the Round the World boats, those are all custom-built, one design, a bit like Formula One racing cars or Indy cars. But the fastest production design is a thing called the Figaro. It's Beneteau in France who make them. And these boats, the idea is they are very, very much identical. I mean, if one comes out of the factory 2 kilos lighter, they'll add a 2 kilo weight. There's a special place where you put these weights. So the centerpiece for the next couple of years is the, it actually runs every year, but this is the first time they've run it as a mixed double, i.e. male-female. So it's the Transat Paprec. Paprec is a recycling company in France, mixed double-handed, starting on the 30th of April. And the thing about it is it's the first ever time they've made it compulsory mixed. So the crews, one male, one female. But to be honest, it's always been a bit like that in sailing. Yes, there's always a bit of, niggles around the edge, and it has been male-dominated. But I have two daughters who are very much sailors, and one is definitely better than me, technically. And I was going to try and persuade her to join me, but which daughter in their right mind would do a solo with or a double-handed with their dad across the Atlantic? I think I had to be slightly real there. But that's the one that the next step, and it's very much a mixture of the top end guys are really professional, and it's a bit like if you're talking about Super Bowl that you've been playing in minor league football. And suddenly you find yourself on the stage at the Super Bowl, somehow in the back end of the fleet, which is what I was doing last year. And so most of the guys are fully sponsored by mostly French international banks, but there's a few Brits. There's eight nationalities altogether. And so we'll see. And so, for example, last year in this class of boat, the Class Figaro, I ended up, it wasn't a question of whether I was going to be last. It was a question of how last I would be. But in the end, I wasn't actually last. At least a couple of guys sadly didn't make it. But I was battling for last place with an Olympic silver medal from Tokyo. When you're having to do that, you know you're in a different category of race. It's just awesome, the people you've got around you. And so that's the next big race is this Transat, Transatlantic, starting on the 30th of April. And that's the main aim.
You know, when you think about the Vendée, I was doing this show 18 years ago, and we had weekly conversations through satellite phone with Bruce Schwab, who was the first American to ever compete and finish the Vendée. And I know we've come a long way in 18 years, but still, you're out there by yourself. You're going about 17 knots around the entire planet. Can you just tell us a little about what they call the Roaring 40s and the Furious 50s with those latitudes?
Yeah, sure. And if you look at the Vendée website or mine, you know, Piers Cotton Motion Racing, there's a brochure on it. Basically, it is round the world. But if you think of it in distance terms, what round the world means, and the race starts and finishes in the west of France, again, simply because the French have really taken ocean racing, solo ocean racing, to a level that, you know, other nations really we're still dreaming of, you know, whether it's the US, UK, all of Italy, all of who think they're sailing nations. So the race itself, basically, you come out of west of France, head west towards the US for a few miles, and then just turn south until, crossing the equator, you get far enough south that you're then 40 or 50 degrees, which is what the 40 and 50 stand for. But basically, the further south you go, there's nothing apart from Australia along the way. And you can go right round the globe and not hit anything and come back to the point you started. And that's basically what the race does. It heads as far south as you can go, so from 40 degrees or 50 degrees south. And because you've got nothing in the way, the ocean basically circles round and round. The winds circle round and round. And you've got the sort of weather systems coming off the Antarctic. It is, Rick, as the name implies, it's Roaring 40s or Furious 50s. indicating the strength of the wind, and you can be quite often up to 40, 50, 60 knots. I've raced down in Australia in something called, ironically, the Three Peaks yacht race. You sail and run up mountains. And we got hit by 77 knots of wind between Tasmania and Australia. And it certainly was an education.
We've been speaking with Piers Copham, the first British sailor to announce the 2023 Las Transpac Pop Rec campaign, and joining forces, we talked about the Voile des Anges, keeping the names on the name of the boat for children who have passed away, which is just an amazing cause as well. Piers, thanks for your, everything you're doing, and best of luck out on the waves.
No, well, thanks you guys, and hope you survive the rest of the U.S. Fun and games over this next week or two. If anyone wants to look, you can find out more on Piers Copham Ocean Racing on Facebook. And we've also just started a GoFundMe campaign to donate. So if anyone feels particularly touched by the cause or has friends or family in the position, we're happy to put the names on the boat anyway. I mean, it's a problem that really is so hidden that it needs to be aired. It's something like 21,000 kids alone in the US who just aren't there because of the problem. And if we can carry some of those as memories, we're very happy to welcome anyone aboard.
Absolutely amazing. Thanks again, Piers.
You can find Piers on sailsporttalk.com. He has a page there as our current guest.
Great stuff. Thanks again to you, Karen Lyle. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break, and we will come on back on Sports Byline.